Yeah, so we've had quite a lot of feedback on the prophecy idea last
Oh,
week.
really?
Yeah.
Should we weigh them?
I'm not even sure my prophecy scales are big enough.
Really?
Yeah, I know. I mean, some of these are quite heavy.
Do you think prophecy scales, do you think they look like those things you used to weigh your luggage with? You sort of hook it on and then
Yeah.
lift it up.
I don't know, but what I do know is that no Christmas stocking should be without them this year, and I think we should market them with our branding.
I think we should. You could probably make them digital these days as well.
Yeah, exactly. Get your MFC prophecy scales here today.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 305 of the Mid-Faith Crisis.
Yes.
Well, you've interrupted, haven't you? That's so annoying.
But
I do my best, and then I look at you on the screen, and did you think you were nodding encouragingly? Because you just looked like you were having an attack of some
I was
kind.
trying to hurry you along. It's a little bit flat. It's a little bit. I just think an opening should be a bit more high energy sometimes, just to engage the listener. Welcome to this 305. 305 years you've been listening to this.
Yeah.
It feels like it.
I always work on the principle that people have a lot better things to be doing with their time, frankly.
Yeah, well, so do I.
Why are they wasting it here?
But God bless them.
Yeah, thank you. Anyway, 305, the Mid-Faith Crisis podcast. I'm Nick Page. There's Joe Davis. There we go.
Yes.
Was that upbeat enough for you?
And you are the 17, and we love you, frankly.
We do.
Thank you.
Good. So I don't think there are any church notices because when we have church notices, Joe tends to announce things that aren't actually finalized.
Listen, there is a buzz of excitement about the home group idea. And I tell you that it's building. It's building online, the emails that are coming in to the show. Yes, count us in.
Do you know what we should do? We should study a really obscure passage of the Bible. Like, you know, do you remember that in home group where you got a really strange passage and everybody would just sort of look at each other and then just talk about their lives because there was nothing else to say, really.
I have many home group stories I could share, but I won't
Oh no, you
now.
should. We should ha if we ever do a home group, you should actually definitely share your home group story.
There was the home group when I was in London, where they were talking about why is Jesus the Lamb of God? And someone piped up, well, lambs are so bouncy and happy. And I seem to remember saying, yes, that's it. Before going away and weeping.
And they're never more bouncy than when they're about to be sacrificed,
Yes,
lambs as well. That's
exactly.
what I've
Oh,
noticed.
and even just after.
And they hop around like mad at that point.
That is
Excellent.
a
So,
true story.
so
They're genuinely said because they're bouncy and happy.
well, there we go. Anyway, how are you?
Well, I'm okay. So a number of things have happened. You listeners may know that a while ago I said I wasn't very busy. I applied for a job this week. That's how I'm busy. And then all
No.
the work has started coming in suddenly. So, you know, it's a funny old game, as they say. That's life. I'll tell you more about the job if and when I get it. But I did do an interview this week,
Really?
all online,
Funny.
not even with a genuine human being, but with a video camera pointed at you. Yeah, that was
My
kind of weird.
goodness.
Questions
Wow.
coming up, and then you answer. Oh dear. Anyway, this is the future, isn't it?
Well, I mean, for many people, it's the present, and they're quite used to it. It's only because you haven't applied for a job for about 40
No,
years that
and as
you
we have
find
said,
it odd.
I am unemployable, so I don't think
Yeah.
there's much chance of getting it, frankly.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
I'll tell you what I did last Saturday. I went to see Dear Evan Hansen. Have you
Oh,
come
yeah.
across that play?
Yes, I know, because my youngest daughter, Martha, is
Yeah.
very into musicals, and she's played it to us on many long car journeys north.
It was a great thing. I mean, it was so spectacularly professional. The singing was unbelievable. The band were unbelievable. I appreciated all that. And it's a lovely story. It's just about how you can tell, you know, one little lie and it sort of gets out of control. And it's about human brokenness and redemption and all that great stuff. I thought you'd like the meeting I had with this group. Remember I was saying, well, we're going to, I think there's a few of us that want to meet up monthly.
Yeah.
I said, what should we call ourselves? And I'm thinking, well, we'll call it Soul Place because that's a nice name and I like it. And that's going to be the... And Peter pipes up. He said, well, it's some of the ideas are at home in a folder marked undefined. And we all looked at each other and went, undefined is a great name for something. that is just too brilliant for words. So there we are. Undefined, coming monthly.
Oh, excellent. Good.
That just made me laugh. Other than that, I'm looking forward to a boys' weekend with my son.
Oh, that's
this
nice.
Coming weekend is coming up. And tonight I'm going to see little Alex Horn.
Oh, are you? Oh, marvellous.
Yes, in Brighton. Yeah.
I'm going to see him in about 5 weeks' time, I think.
Oh, well, there you
Four
go.
4 weeks' time, yeah, in Oxford.
And
yeah.
We're all hoping he's going to do the P song.
We are, and if you don't know the P song, I'm not even going to put a link to it.
No, it's so childish and puerile.
It's so childishly rude, but nothing makes me laugh more. Anyway.
so that's me. Anyway, I'm fine. I should say the reason I've gone to twice to the Theatre Royal in Brighton is because I'm using my Tribes vouchers. So thank you, Tribes funeral directors, for giving me tickets to go over the past 2 years.
This podcast is sponsored by Tribes funeral directors. Are you thinking of dying? Call us now.
Anyway, that's what's going on there. Anyway, how are you, dear boy?
Yeah, I'm all right, actually. I had a really good, you know, I always struggle with these bits, actually, in a way. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I have loads to say, but quite often I struggle because you like going out and doing things, whereas I like hiding in and weeping and wondering what happened to my life. No, I'm
it's your favourite pastime.
It is. Well, it seems to occupy a lot of my time. No, I like, you know, I'm not a big social guy, so I kind of, you know, so I was had a very quiet weekend, basically. I was struggling to think what to say, but I had a quiet weekend, but I've got a retreat day next week, so that'll be nice. And then I'm off to that there London as well. So I'm having a busy week next week, but that was a quiet weekend.
So hang on, you're having a quiet weekend, and so to cope with all this quietness, you're having a retreat day. Have I understood that correctly?
No, I haven't had a retreat day, a quiet day.
Okay.
These are, as you know very well, these are very different things. You know?
I
so I'm going to a convent.
Okay. Do the nuns know?
Well, I like to surprise them. I just pop out of a cupboard. no, it's just up the road. It's the Wantage Convent. And actually, there aren't many nuns there now. There are about six. And five of them are very elderly. Anyway, so I'm looking forward to that. That'd be nice. I feel like I need a quiet day.
Mm.
Typically, I will go with a shopping list of things that I wish to hear from God on. And typically, I'll hear something totally different.
Yes.
Anyway, so looking forward to that. And then I tell you what, next week, I've got an MRI scan.
Oh, have you?
Yes.
Are they searching for your brain?
Yeah, well, if they're scanning my head, they're at least 3 foot 3 foot wrong, aren't they? Because it's not there. it's a totally different part of my body. I don't know what they're doing. They're looking for some throat thing, if there's any throat thing.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. Well, glad you know that. We could have saved the NHS a lot of money just by saying, oh, Nick says there isn't.
Well, I think you have to be sure, don't you? I've never had one before, but I hear they're quite sort of claustrophobic, but I'm not sure. I will report back.
Report back. We want to know.
Indeed. And that's pretty much me. So I think we should get on with the feedback.
Yes, well, we'll roll on because there has been feedback from last week. So let's do this. Firstly, though, let's just start with a typical comment from Sarah and Wendy and many others who said both our hands are up for the home group.
Okay.
Just saying. No pressure. I'm so glad we announced it so clearly.
you are so annoying.
Deets really to follow, everyone. But we're talking the new year here. Not as far away as the summer, but maybe not in January.
Maybe not in 2025 either.
Oh, stop it. Come on. Sam wrote in and Sam says, hi, Joe, Nick. I try and be pithy, but no guarantees. Listening to today's podcast, I wanted to share my experience. A Sunday 6 years ago, and my mum was in hospital with pneumonia and a severely compromised immune system from chemo. She said to her vicar, "I'm going home on Thursday," to which the reply was, "I don't think so." I wake up on Monday morning with a jolt after a very loud but not audible "it's prophetic" in my head, somehow convinced that she was going to die on Thursday. I made a decision to believe it and work with it. I go into work and make arrangements to take the rest of the week off. I contact family and friends to let them know that Mum is seriously ill, but not sharing with them that she's going to be gone on Thursday, because that would sound bonkers. It still feels pretty bonkers, she says. I then spend as much time as possible with her and was able to ring round in the early hours of Thursday to let those that needed to know that they should come. And yes, she did die on the Thursday, and I was immensely grateful for the forewarning. Everyone that wanted or needed to see her before she died was able to do that. It really did feel like the divine rolled out the red carpet for me and my mum. The panic was taken out of that week for me, and I knew that we were so gently held. But I'm left with a why me? Why was I blessed in this way when others miss the opportunities and are heartbroken that they couldn't say goodbye? It's not something I've shared with many for obvious reasons. I know it's something of a cliche, but that day in the hospital, there was an attentive robin in a courtyard, and it brought such hope that I thought my heart might burst. And every time we go to visit where my mum's ashes are scattered with the bluebells, a robin follows us for a while. Is it all coincidence? I don't think so. It helps me to believe in the connectedness of all things, even in the middle of my doubt and unbelief, of which there is lot. Sermon over, she says. Thanks for all you guys do. Thank you, Sam. Sam, thank you for that. There's lots I want to say about this, but I'll let you go first because you're, you know, clever.
Me? Well, I would like to hear what you say about it, because I actually have heard this kind of story quite a lot from people, about people who seem to know when they're going to pass, and when they're going to die, I should say. Not really.
I
don't know why I said pass. They're not going to pass their exams.
Yeah, sure.
And they're going to die. Anyway, I think this is a great example of exactly what we were trying to, in our usual stumbling way, to talk about last week, of remaining open to the mystical, to the prophetic, to the inexplicable. I heard a great talk yesterday by a Nigerian pastor who was talking about how he hears from God. And he used this lovely phrase about one instance where he heard clearly God say something. And he said, "The microphone in my heart began to speak."
Oh, that's nice.
I really loved that.
That's nice.
I thought that's lovely. That is a way that we can really sort of think about these things. Yeah. If you just get that sense that there's a microphone on somewhere and you... it's saying things to you. Yeah, and, so I don't know, really.
I think Sam has articulated clearly this kind of sense that doesn't stay with us, it seems to me, all the time, but that we get every now and then. It's the same sense that says to you sometimes, "I've got to call this person. I don't know why, but they're on my mind and I can't explain it." And you ring them and you discover that the timing could not have been better. It was like you had a connected sense with this person. I don't know how else to explain it. Now, some people would say, "God told me to ring you."
Mm.
And that's okay if you want to use that language. I personally wouldn't use that language. I think we're connected in God, in Christ. And so, yeah, sometimes you sense stuff. And I think it is possible for people who are dying to just have that very strong sense. I know I've tuned into something and I'm going home Thursday.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. The other thing that I thought about it is that during yesterday's talk, he talked about Ezekiel.
Oh, yeah.
But the passage in Ezekiel where he has the Valley of the Bones.
Yeah.
And I'd never noticed, but if you read that passage, Ezekiel is commanded to prophesy to the bones and to prophesy to the wind. And that's the Hebrew word is prophesy. And I thought that's really interesting because that's not normally how we think of the prophetic,
in
terms of ordering something or commanding something or of issuing some kind of instruction or passing on a message of resurrection, really. That's what it made me think of, is kind of like that maybe one way to look at to look at why we should remain open to this is because, as with the dry bones, things can always come back to life. And, you know, there can always be a sort of resurrection moment as well, which is, I believe, is happening with Sam, really, although you know, the other side, as it were. But you know, I just think that there's more to it, and that's why we should remain open to it. But what about the Robin bit? That's interesting. What did you think about
that? I wanted to say something about the Robin. Well, it's interesting because I wear a little RSPB Robin on my suit because so many people talk about this Robins. I don't know what the origins or superstitions are regarding Robins. Even if they are superstitions, they're there for a reason because Robins seem to mean so much to people. And suddenly I've heard so many stories of, you know, Robins becoming suddenly very tame and appearing at the most appropriate and apt moments. So many people comment on the Robin on my suit, and they're not, you know, they're not religious, or, you know, sometimes they're religious, sometimes they're not, but, you know, they just have this, oh yeah, get it. So I don't know, we're connected to nature, and maybe robins have a way of picking up on our vibe sometimes and come to bring a little robin blessing. I'm open to it.
We had a robin right inside the house. It came through several rooms almost to get in. You know, it's amazing. Also, I've got a bird badge that I wear that symbolises something. It's a bearded tit.
Yeah. Did I buy it for you?
I think you might have, yeah.
It's good to be reminded.
It's very poignant. And I don't understand the symbolism of that one. I don't get it at all.
Oh, it's a special blessing. It's just there for everyone to realise how wise you are.
Okay, good.
That's what I thought of you.
Good. That must be it.
Anyway, thanks, Sam. And
thank you, Sam.
Thanks for allowing us to share that as well. Deborah said, hi, Joe. I really enjoyed the interview about mindfulness with Sean Lambert. It just made so much sense. One quick comment Sean made was particularly helpful to me. He mentioned those with asthma may struggle with breathing as part of mindfulness. And she says, yes, with lots of exclamation marks after it. That's been exactly my struggle and why I found it so hard to engage with mindfulness and breathing type contemplation prayers. Says, as every time I try to focus on my breath in prayer, it triggers discomfort and a potential asthma attack brought on by association. Focusing on slow breathing is what I do when I'm experiencing an asthma attack. So it's all a bit scary and horrible, in brackets, zero nooms. I like that. So this is the first time I've ever heard someone name this as a thing, and I thought I was just doing it wrong. So thank you, Sean. And then she talks about mindful walking and how instead of using the rhythm of breath, Deborah uses walking. So I thought that was just such a great bit of feedback. I actually sent your email on, Deborah, to Sean, who was hugely appreciative. So thank you for that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's significant, isn't it? It's a bit of empathy there from him. And also just a reminder that all our spirituality is embodied.
Yes.
And we'll be shaped by our own health and our own physicality. And walking, I mean, is a good example of that as well, because I think walking might be the most underrated spiritual activity.
Yeah, actually. I agree. Yeah.
You know, it's always significant, isn't it, how Jesus kept walking. Everyone he invited to follow him, they were walking everywhere.
He could have got the Uber or the bus, but no, he walked.
Well, there were chariots available. He was a carpenter. He could have knocked up a quick wagon.
He could have. Surely he could.
But no. No, I think it's to do with the fact that walking helps us think. You know, there's something about the rhythm that actually opens us up. And I think it's always a good thing to allow yourself to walk. Often, you know, I used to listen to podcasts all the time. Now, quite often, I don't do that because I find that actually I want to just think when I walk.
Don't say that. We want people to listen to this.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. No, ignore what I just said and listen to this podcast over and over again.
No, I'm the same. I walk off anxiety. I mean, that's what I do. If I've got 10 minutes, I'll just walk, do a little circuit around. I do sometimes wonder what the neighbours think of me. There he goes again. He's walking around. Yeah. That's the fifth time today. But
probably think you've forgotten things. Yeah. You just don't know where you're going.
Yeah, probably. Anyway, thank you for that, Deborah. Rebecca wrote in and says, hearing you and Nick discuss God's intervention or not in response to prayer brought up all sorts of past experiences, conversations and thoughts. So I don't have an answer, but I have observed something. When I pray, the result may not be apparent as an answer, though now and then what has happened has left me in no doubt that God was interacting with me. But there is always a connection with God where I start to understand something differently, or a way forward I hadn't thought of comes to mind. I think that the creator of the universe works within the laws of the universe. But my goodness, those laws are more complex and multidimensional than we know still. So that leaves plenty of scope. So here's the conclusion I've drawn. When I was in the simplicity stage of faith, I was taught the prayer was answered as yes, no, or later. Now when I pray, it seems to open a journey with the divine, often bringing along others I pray for too, and it takes me to experiences, thoughts, situations and people I would not have expected. There were several years when I became afraid to pray for friends because things always seemed to get so much worse. But over the years, I have seen that what happened was that the false was demolished and the truth came to light, often very painfully, but the emotional healing could begin. Attentiveness, awareness and openness, as Sean and Nick said, seemed to be the best way to make sense of prayer. Love that. Might get that tattooed on my fingers. Not sure how to equally divide them into 10 lots of letters, though. Thanks to you both for being willing to keep going into the 9th year and beyond with the podcast Lifeline. And she says, oh, and yes, please, to an MFC home group. Of course you do, oh, Rebecca.
Did you, I think you've just made that PS up.
No, I didn't. But
okay.
But that's lovely, isn't it? I think that's really helpful. So this idea that it's not, what was it, yes, no, or the other one, wait. But this idea that when you pray, it opens up a journey with the divine, and who knows where it's going to end. I sort of like the openness of that.
What really struck me was that line about God works with the universe, the creator of the universe works with the laws of the universe.
Yeah.
But those laws are more complex and multidimensional, yes, we know. And I think that is really interesting.
It's wisdom.
Because so much of what I don't watch Brian Cox with the same adulation that you do.
Oh, why not?
I don't know. I just got something better to do. But you know, so much of the stuff with about quantum physics and, you know, existing in several states at several times, you kind of think, well, that could feed perfectly well into our understanding of God and indeed into our understanding of possibilities, of choice, of different states. So I think that's very rich, and I need to think a bit more about that. But I also like the idea about prayer exposing the false and revealing the true. I think that's very profound. Yeah. Very good.
There's some really good lines in that email, so I should probably read it again slowly. But I won't, because we've got to move on. But thank you so much, Rebecca. Really appreciate your thoughts there. Jeremy wrote in, and he said, hi, Joe. Long time listener, first time emailer, as they say. How lovely. Thanks,
welcome,
Joe. Yeah, isn't that great? Thank you for writing in. Do you think there are others? We may never know.
Well, I think about 17. Not surely. He must be the last.
Heard
to
most
email
of them now, I think.
Must have heard from the other 16.
Anyway, Jeremy says, just finished listening to episode 304. And aside from the parking space problem clearly being a direct result of the fall, when they paved Paradise and put up a parking lot in the first place, as St. Joni of Mitchell says.
Amen.
He says, I'm currently making sense of God's intervention or not with a mashup of something like the Eastern Orthodox idea of the essence of God, unknowable, other, transcendent, and the energies of God, fully knowable, at work in the world and interactable with. He says, so that's A. And B, the thinking of Thomas J. Ord and on the uncontrolling love of God. Only aware of this by listening to podcasts, he says, not by reading the books. He says, his idea is that God is love, and love by nature is uncontrolling and non-coercive. It can't be anything else. Mm. So to do anything in the world, God needs the collaboration, to use Nick's favourite word, of humans and or other creatures who are open to God's energies. He says, I love Trip Fuller on homebrewed Christianity's phrase. And he says, God refuses to be God without us. Now, what about that for a sentence? I'm going to say that again and move on. God refuses to be God without us. This invitation to collaboration seems to chime with the words of Ephesians about a God who, by the power at work within us, is able to accomplish accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine. He says, may you and Nick soon be blessed again with cheese and wine. And that's from Jeremy.
Amen. Well, there's quite a lot in there. A lot that I have heard, but I don't really understand, like the Eastern Orthodox stuff, the energies stuff. I'm not really familiar with that. I have to go away and look that up. And do you know Thomas Ord? I thought the Ord were in Doctor Who.
I think they are.
I thought they were an alien
also
race.
In the Bible.
Are they? Okay.
Yeah, you are thinking about the Ood, not Thomas J. Ord. Slightly different dimensional realities, I believe.
Are you familiar with this alien being?
Yes, I am familiar. He's written some lovely books.
Oh, okay.
Again, along the lines of, you know, a more Christ-like God. So, you know, he's a really good guy and very helpful writer of theological concepts, but in English that every one of us can understand. So,
oh, good.
He's a great guy. I really appreciate that. I also like this idea, God refuses to be God without us. Now, I'll tell you what, before we discuss that, and I really do want to discuss that, can we just deal with something from Pete from Minneapolis? Because he said lots of things in an email. Thank you, Pete, for all the kind words. He says, to me, prayer, meditation and mindfulness help us listen to the divine aim. It also helps open up the possibility that if all things can in some way respond to God's loving lure, divine action in the world is not supernatural, but quite natural. This moves the concept of God away from being interventionist to the divine calling all things towards goodness, truth, beauty, justice, creativity, and creation, including ourselves, responding to that call, co-creating with the divine.
Mm.
Now, I'm sorry if that didn't all make sense. I lifted it out of quite a long email, but I felt it belonged with this idea that God refuses to be God without us, of co-creating with the divine, that it really is a partnership. But I think when we've talked about this notion in the past, I've always had that sense, but yeah, God is out there really sort of controlling things, maybe giving us hints of what we should do. But God's firmly in charge because God is God, and who am I? I wonder if that's right. I wonder if I was being wrong about that, that actually God can't really be God without us. Now, what about that? You know, in other words, it has to, I mean, we know this anyway, because we often talk about being Jesus for people. You know, we are Jesus' arms and feet. That phrase gets bandied around. But again, I think theologically, it's always with this sense, yeah, we've just got to do what God's will is, what God says. In other words, God has this prior knowledge of what needs to happen, and then that tells us. And then if we're good Christians, we do it.
Mm.
But what if that's not how it works at all? You know, because creativity requires letting go of stuff, doesn't it? One of the reasons I don't paint is because I'm a bit afraid to, because I just think I'm rubbish at it. And you know, if I create, I don't know what's going to happen, but it's probably going to be disappointing, and so nothing gets done you know, in terms of painting. But when God created us, God, you know, sort of from within herself, if I can put it that way, then surely God lets go of the outcomes, because you're not in charge of it. Someone wrote in talking about the parking space and saying, but you know, God loves us like we're his children and wants to know. And I think, well, yeah, I love my children, but I can't provide a parking space for them anyway, either. You know, I can take an interest in them, and I can learn about their desire for a parking space, and I might be able to ring them and say, hey, there's a parking space just over there. Go there now. But I can't create one. Is it the same with God? Is it a similar deal, do you think?
Well, I mean, firstly, I thought you had the spiritual gift of parking spaces.
So if
you can't actually impart that onto other people, I'm not sure what the point is.
Oh, no, you can't impart it to others. It's just mine and mine alone. I have to be driving.
Yeah. Oh, that's terrible. yes, I it's all bound up, I think, with how you view God being in control.
Right.
You know, I think scripture is clear that God has a kind of plan for the universe, as a plan, as a long-term
right, okay.
plan. You know, there's a when we talk about Jesus coming back, or we talk about all this kind of stuff, that's what, whether you go for that or not, that's what the Bible says. The Bible says that God is in charge, God is in control, God has the victory.
Okay, I'm going with this because I want you to make your point.
But my point is that doesn't mean that God controls every bit of that, every iota. There's levels. So you can say the overall plan is in place. The overall shape is in place. But actually, down at our level, if we just think we're robots, well, that takes away all kinds of instances of free will and choice.
Yes.
So I think that God is allowing things, allowing freedom, allowing collaboration. Okay. God chooses, as that thing says, I think that's what he means. God refuses to be God without us. It's not that God couldn't be God without us.
Wow.
It's that God doesn't want to be God without us.
Hmm.
That's how I would view it. But he wants to collaborate. He wants to work with us. He gives us immense amounts of freedom, I think.
So, okay, let me ask another. And, you know, we're using the God word a lot. So so we'll stick with it. Do you think that God, does she know what I'm going to do next? There's a question.
I think she's interested in what you're going to do next.
Yes. Yeah, I do.
I don't know if she knows. The traditional view of God would say yes. But even if God knows what you're going to do next, you still have a choice.
Well, yeah, I mean, and this is where I come back to the sort of parent-child analogy, which I think is helpful in this instance. It's not always helpful, but it is in this, because I think, like, I know my kids. I hope they know I love them, and I think they love me, but I don't know what they're doing or where they are all the time. I think I've always just assumed, but God's omnipresent and knows everything and is everywhere and can see us and is watching us, you know, traditionally waiting for us to make a mistake so the judgment can come down, you know, it's like some horribly mean parent. But I just wonder if that's really how it goes at all. It's, I mean, you remember those days when everyone would prophesy Jeremiah over you. You know, out of good intention. I know the plans I have.
Yes.
You know, and I think, well, you know, just tell me, do I go for this job or don't I? You know, it's nice that you know the plan, but just tell me.
Well, again, it's about levels. This is where I think it's about guidance and levels. So God does have plans for us, and our plan, and his plan is for us to be Christ-like.
Yes.
That's the plan. Yeah. The plan is for us to be like Jesus, to be kind and forgiving and loving and patient.
Yes.
That's the plan.
So within that, we have creative autonomy, if I can say, from God. We're in relationship with God, but God doesn't know exactly how we're going to be Christ-like. You know, he doesn't know whether we're going to help this person or that person. Doesn't know whether we're going to eat this sausage or go for the vegetarian tonight. Doesn't know if we're going to... That's not a part of it, that we're just free to do that. And even God doesn't know how that's going to work.
Well, God might know, but he might not worry. You know, I don't know. You know, the thing is, God, I think that second email was very good on this. God is always calling us. He's calling us to co-create, to listen to the voice, to listen to the microphone in our heart and see what that's, and hear what
that's
saying.
Lovely. Yeah.
And to respond in that way. So I don't think God is deciding things for us. If God has programmed everything, which is the sort of classic Calvinist kind of view, there's no virtue in me being good or kind because I've been programmed to do that. If God has told me to, you know, this is where I think the whole thing falls down. Yeah. Because if God has got this plan for you and he's manipulating every moment in your life like a puppet master, then what virtue is it?
No, exactly. Exactly. Nice? I mean, I'm labouring this point because I think sometimes we do go quite deep with the theology. And I know theologians would have very long, complex words to discuss the various heresies we're talking about now. But I do think we've talked a lot recently about collaboration with the divine. My morning prayer is, what are we doing together today? And I'm totally on that page of, you know, God is not out there guiding things, but within me, sort of helping and supporting me from within. I think it's raised. Sometimes you have these moments of clarity where you think, oh gosh, this is a pivotal moment in my journey of faith, because I'm realizing once again God is not who I thought God was. And what I think I'm learning is that actually I have a frightening amount of freedom. I really am free to do whatever I darn well like, and that's an awesome responsibility. I could ruin someone's day with my freedom. Equally, I could be a massive blessing to someone today. I'm free to do either. You know, I'm free to be as tetchy and snarky and mean and cynical as I like. I'm equally free to be loving, gracious, supporting, generous, generative.
Mm.
I can use my energies any way I like. And it feels like what Jesus is encouraging us to do is to use our energies in harmony. And, you know, Jesus' language was the kingdom of God, which was good language then. I don't know if it's particularly good, helpful language now. It's as good as any, probably. A bit exclusive. Maybe we'd say queendom a bit more. But, you know, that there's this idea that actually God within me is encouraging me to live in a certain generative way in this world. I'm a one-man blessing machine, as we've said before. Or I'm not, quite possibly. So I think my image of God is changing, because once I thought God's got a master plan and either I'm with it or I'm not. Either I've stepped off it today or I'm in it. Now I think that God's just a part of me. And if I'm still sometimes, I can really sense what the right course of action for me to do is next, the next good thing to do. What a kind of kingdom life. Again, I'm using old language and, you know, we're throwing metaphors everywhere, but what else have we got to describe the divine and this mystical dimension to reality? But I think, you know, I'm realizing I've so moved away from God as a being and God as an interventionist being and God controlling things and God, you know, just telling me every little thing to do to, oh, I'm living in cooperation with the divine. And it's a partnership. And here we are in this moment. And, you know, I'm around for another however many years of human life. And then I go and it's down on someone else to do it. But I'll be back in God. So that's OK. And, you know, the whole theological framework, I'm just realizing, has so changed for me. And I don't even have the language to explain it anymore. But that's why I'd like you to do it.
OK.
Succinctly now, please.
Well, I mean, I think I would have some differences. I haven't moved away from God as a being, because I find that I can only really respond to a being. I can't really respond to an idea or a life force or that kind of thing. Mm. But I think that, yeah, broadly speaking, I would agree. I think that it's about listening and awareness and attentiveness. And it's about, maybe it ties in all with what we've been talking about, you know, that this is why we should pray and why we should listen for the microphone to start crackling the thing to come through, because it might have something important to say to us. This is why we should be open to the prophetic, because it might actually speak in to our lives. It could be someone could be tuned in, right? You know, we shouldn't dismiss that. And why we should prophesy to the dry bones in that sense. Why we should always call new life into situations that seem absolutely dead and buried and hopeless. It's all to do with co-creating. You know, I happen to think that that's one of the key ways in which we are made in the image of God, is that human beings are creative. We're all creative. We all have that innate skill to weave stories or paint pictures or do whatever, you know. And so I think when we engage in that, we're listening to God, we're co-creating, we're part of that stream. So I don't think that God manipulates us, because to do so would be to deny the freedom that he gave us in the first place. I do think that there is always the possibility of hearing from God in terms of what we should be doing. And if we don't hear, well, maybe then it's up to us to use our wisdom to do it. And I do think that God is in charge of the universe. I do think God is in control. I think ultimately, Jesus has the victory. Ultimately,
there is the master plan. Yeah,
you know, there is the master plan. But whatever happens at this, you know,
yeah, sure.
It's like being the CEO of a huge company. You know, you can't actually micromanage everybody down at the lower level, but you've got a big strategy. You know where you're going.
Well, I mean, there must be a big strategy because surely there was an idea to have a universe or multiverse in the first place. So there is an idea behind it. So it must be going somewhere, mustn't it?
Amazingly, there's not only this idea to have this, to create this thing, but to create it with a Joe Davis in it, to create yes, it with a Nick Page in it.
I can't understand that.
To love all of us into being and to see what we're going to do next.
Yeah.
And isn't that what a creator loves to do? Sometimes when you write something, you don't genuinely know
where it's going,
what the next sentence is going to be. And something pops up and you think, where did that come from? And it's very exciting when that happens.
Yeah.
And I just think that that's co-creation, that's collaboration, that's tapping into something beyond yourself.
Well, I love that.
Yeah.
And this feels like a good place to call it. I'm sorry if I've waffled too much today, but I love this idea that whatever you're doing after this podcast, you're going and co-creating something with the divine. And that sounds like a bit of fun, doesn't it?
It sounds great. You can't think of a better thing to do, really.
Hey, let me talk about next week. Am I allowed to promo this? Are you going to let me?
Go on.
Because it is planned and it is happening. So we've got a guest. No more theological waffle. Everyone needs a break from that. Come on. So I am going to interview the absolutely wonderful Martin Joseph, who is just a man that sings and writes about love and life and faith and whales, and it's fantastic. And dolphins.
Oh, dolphins, says, famously.
Yes. So it's just, he's a fantastic guy. It just well worth listening to some of his catalogue. He wrote one of my favourite songs ever, of course, which I shall reveal next week.
Okay.
And So Martin Joseph next week.
Well, that'd be great. I'm looking forward to that. So, so we'll be back with you next week. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for sending your thoughts in.
Oh, brilliant emails. Absolutely brilliant. Thank you.
As you can hear, they make up the bulk of the content. And thank you for supporting us. And if you wish to support us, you can go to the website, which is midfaithcrisis.org. And if you wish to send us a message, send it to
joe@midfaithcrisis.org.
That'd be great. And please do recommend the podcast to people you think might like it. That's really the only way. We don't do any advertising. It's really the only way we grow. So that'd be great. Thank you very much for being with us. We'll be back with you next week.
Bless you. Go get on with some co-creating.